Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And good day to you, Southern California. Sunny days and Mondays. Well, I haven't done this topic in about a year, but it's an interesting topic, and it helps me understand life, reincarnation, death, metaphysics, all kinds of wonderful, interesting items. Today's topic is called Homosexuality, Astrology, and Metaphysics. We take a look at metaphysical reasons behind why people are bisexual or homosexual, why they choose the gay life, what's wrong with people feeling uncomfortable about being gay, in my opinion. In case they are, they shouldn't feel uncomfortable about it. I was thinking about this topic on the way to the station today on the drive here, and I thought it's unfortunate that we don't have several other classifications for gender, human gender, other than the male and the female, male heterosexual and female heterosexual. Because realistically speaking, if we were all to live in peace and happiness with a harmonic convergence of all ideals, then instead of trying to put each other down for our sexual preferences, then we might be better off living with it, living with each other in a harmonic convergence of ideals and values. Because frankly, people are going to be the way they want to be because that's their karma or their destiny, and trying to change anyone from the outside, whether you think it's right or not, is not going to happen. Because some people are going to be gay because they're happy being gay. And I think life would make a lot more sense if we walked around and accepted the fact that there were heterosexual males, heterosexual females, bisexual males, bisexual females, and homosexual males, and homosexual females, which to me makes up actually six categories or possible genders that we should really accept, as far as my opinion goes, as far as a harmonic convergence of all sexual ideals. I mean, wouldn't it be a lot better, I think, as far as life on Earth and everyone getting along, if everyone was allowed to come out of the closet and you were allowed to be friends with a person, whether he was straight or gay or bisexual or whatever, without feeling bad about it or without them feeling weird or suspicious about the way society might ridicule them or whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of different parts of this planet that are very, very severe on people that are homosexual or bisexual. Did you know that there's so much prejudice and discrimination just in religious and racial areas? Let's say you're a Jewish man and you happen to be a black Jewish man, and on top of that, you're a gay black Jewish man. Gosh, in some places in the South, they'd have three reasons for being mad at you. Or you might be a gay black Jewish woman, and then they'd have even more to be upset with you. And there's just so much hate and so much prejudice and discrimination going on along the lines of so many qualities of human beings that I decided to talk about homosexuality today. And you know, homosexuality is a very interesting topic to me metaphysically, because this to me clearly validates the proof that reincarnation exists. And people will say, well, Farley, how do you figure that? Now, what do you mean by that? And I'll sit here and I'll go, now look, if you take a person that has been a macho man, a heterosexual male, and maybe all of their past lives, and in fact, they created so much karma unto themselves with women, that this is the vibration that they finally came to, that they finally incarnated as a woman, in fact, an attractive woman. But the soul inside of this being that has gone out through time is an entity that has always gone after women. See what I mean? Or has hungered or desired for the female sex. Well, obviously, what you're going to end up with, from my point of view here, is a male soul in a female body. And the male soul actually still desires and hungers for female sex, you know, on the return, and hence this person becomes a lesbian or a gay female. Because they can't, let's face it, if you have a male soul in a female body and they have sex with a man, then they might feel darn uncomfortable about that. You know, and that's why a lot of gay women can't or won't have sex with men, because it just doesn't seem to be right. It seems to be much easier and much safer and much more fun and exciting to be with another gay woman. And it's almost like, in my opinion, this is really very, very interesting, but if you take, this is funny, this will really make you laugh if you think of this for a moment. If you take 1,000 men, macho men, and incarnate them as 1,000 women, whether they're good-looking or not, and they all actually end up being gay women, do you know who they end up with? They end up with each other. So in the long run, if you think about it, you get 1,000 macho men in past lives whose karma it is now to become gay women. They think they're going after the females, right? But they're not aware that they're really going after other male souls in female bodies, and they're trying to work out their karma together. Now let's take a look at the other side of the fence to try to help further substantiate and evaluate some reincarnation truths. And let's say you have some women that abuse their right or their responsibility or whatever, karmically speaking, as far as being women is concerned. They don't, for some reason, karmically, they cross some lines, they do some lying, some cheating, some manipulation, and it is their vibration to become men. But because they have been women throughout their past life histories, they have not lost their taste or desire for men as far as lovers go. So these women, these female souls, incarnate as male souls, and they are darn uncomfortable to be with other women. Right? You got this? You've got, let me get this straight. You have female souls that incarnate as a man, and these female souls still want to be with men. So obviously you end up with gay men. And this is really fascinating, because what I have found, reincarnationally speaking, that most gay men are really what we would call female souls in men's bodies. So you end up really with women that are loving each other in men's bodies, and most gay women are like male souls in women's body. And I'm not saying all, and I'm not really creating any bottom lines. What I'm doing is I'm opening up this show wide open to your discussion, your comments, and I'm throwing things out as food for thought, because I've thought about this. As you know, we do have a large listenership of gay people that listen to the Astrology Hour, and my ex-wife is gay, and I've had a lot of contact in my clients. So I've studied this. I've really analyzed it. It's fascinating to me. And then, of course, there's other people that will be in their bodies, and they will feel, quote-unquote, what is said to be normal, right? Because if you think you're a man and you love women, and that's normal, or a woman who loves men, that's supposed to be normal. But like I say, maybe we should all recategorize the gender of people and accept the fact that we're going to have heterosexual men, heterosexual women, bisexual men and bisexual women, and gay men and gay women. And then people will say, well, Farley, reincarnationally speaking, where do the bisexual men and women come from? Well, that's easy. These souls have crossed the line so many times from going back and forth from male to female, male to female, male to female bodies, that at this point, when they come into a certain body in this lifetime, it makes no difference to them who they have sex with, because they feel comfortable in having sex with both and or either or any of the above. See how it works? So if you're wondering whether reincarnation is true or not, then check your own personal sexuality. And if you do tend to be bi or gay, if you wonder why a lot of bisexual and gay people are more prone to New Age philosophies and psychic and spiritual understanding and astrological understanding, it's because they are more in touch with the path of their souls and the complexities of the reincarnational lives that they experienced. I had a person do a regression on me, and frankly, I'll admit this to you, but I relate, it's funny, if you ask people what they relate to, I relate to either being heterosexual male or homosexual female in a past life. I don't relate to being a homosexual male, because I guess my soul, if you wanted to give it gender, would be more male, which means if I was incarnated in a female body, I would probably still be attracted to women. So, you know, that's a personal admission, of course, because at this point I am a male. But this is a very, very interesting show, and I think it is important for everyone to understand these concepts, whether they're heterosexual, bisexual, or gay. And I'm going to go over certain things in the natal chart that I have found to help us understand some of the gay karma that goes about when people incarnate. I have found a couple of things to run true so many times. And once again, I'm not creating any bottom lines, but I am saying in general, for example, I have found that a lot of women that have Venus in Gemini, Mars in Virgo, Venus in Virgo, or Mars in Gemini, or any of the above combinations, or one out of the two, or one out of the four, there seems to be a majority of that grouping that are so open-minded as far as relationships go, that is the way they may discover their own personal bisexuality or homosexuality. See, Gemini and Virgo are signs that are very open-minded. They're called mutables. And they're also signs that are extremely, what we would call, experimental, and also can be confused when it comes to personal relationships. Besides, people with Virgo in their charts, Venus or Mars in Virgo, or like the Moon or Rising or Sun, usually can be bombarded with lots of prudence from parents and from family when they grow up strict, disciplinarian, according to sex. it's like a lot of these people are told to hold off or wait. Like I know a gay woman, for example, that was instructed by her family to hold off on being a virgin till she was 19 or 20. And it ended up that by the time she decided to have sex with men, it was so uncomfortable that the course of least resistance ended up having sex with women, which by far exceeded her enjoyment than being with men, which besides the fact was an environmental problem from the family and from the peers and from the social pressure. But this woman also had Venus in Gemini, square Mars in Virgo. And we do find, because Mars is such an analytical sign, for example, Mars in Virgo for gay women or Venus in Virgo for gay men, it is such an analytical sign that because Mars does rule possible relationships with men, we do find that women that have Mars in Virgo, a lot of them tend to be bi or gay. Not all of them. I found some of the most heterosexual women in the world have Mars in Virgo, so I don't want you to take this as a rash generalization. But we do find that a lot of women that do have trouble with relationships with men would have Mars in Virgo because they do tend to overanalyze or expect things that just never happen. Now, there's all kinds of an assortment of vibrations you get in a natal chart when a person is homosexual. I'll give you some examples. We do find a lot of gay women, for example, have Mars in Aquarius, usually under stress by opposition or square. They could have Mars in Virgo, like I said, Leo rising, Aquarius rising, sometimes Scorpio rising. Usually a fixed personality or a dominant personality in a female's chart with a Virgo or Aquarius input can swing them to the gay side or at least the bisexual side. As far as men goes, we find their charts to be a lot more vulnerable or a lot more submissive, not near as dominant in general, but we do find a lot of the men with the Gemini rising, Pisces rising, Sag or Virgo rising that have the Gemini-Virgo complements in their chart, usually Gemini-Virgo stress, like Venus or Mars in Virgo or Gemini, usually can create an option where a man would be bi or gay, and we also find Aquarius. So we do find that Aquarius, Virgo, and Gemini are portions that we find in the chart that many times will go along the lines of a person incarnating with a soul that might not fit the gender of the body they're inhabiting. And this doesn't hold true always, but we do find if you listen to the Astrology Hour a lot that I will ask many times the question of a caller, are you gay or are you bi? And they'll say yes, and right away it'll be that factor, you know, that Gemini, Virgo, Aquarius factor in their charts that can alert me to that. Because usually we do find a karma attached at childhood that can suppress the homosexual vibration that's inside of a person. And I really think that a homosexual vibration metaphysically is really that soul trying to express themselves in their most natural lines of form and contact. Once again, you know, reiterating and substantiating that a male soul that goes through all of its past lives as a macho man incarnating in a female's body will still be hungry for females and obviously be of the lesbian quality. And there's really no reason for us to put them down for this, but people that are gay really deserve and require, I would think, our compassion and our understanding so they can help work out their karma. Because the karma with relationships, let's face it, it can be a bit more complicated or a bit more complex when we are bi or gay. And when we face up to this, when we admit to it, we can finally work out the karma. Sometimes it takes many, many years to come to a point where you can accept the fact that this is going on and you try to share this with friends or family without getting beat up for it emotionally or mentally. At this point, there are probably a lot of you out there going, Farley, I really would like to know if I have Gemini or Virgo stress in my chart, if I'm a woman with Leo rising or a man with Pisces or Gemini rising or a woman with Mars and Aquarius under stress. And frankly, also a lot of aspects in natal charts, if you want to know a further truth, it doesn't matter what sign you have in your chart. I've also found that women that have obliterated Mars, no matter what sign they're in, if Mars is squared or opposed by too many planets, and Venus, on the other hand, has trines and sextiles, sometimes relationships with women can be that much more comfortable. Women with afflicted Mars and blessed Venus. And on the other hand, men with afflicted Venus and blessed Mars, no matter what sign they're in, squares and oppositions on Venus can make relationships with women too painful. So we do find also an abundance of afflicted Venuses with gay men and abundance of afflicted Marses with gay women, no matter what sign they're in. And this will actually help us understand ourselves, because the world is our reflection. And people in the world are connected to us. They are one with us. Even though they're individual terminals of the God force, it's important in order for us to live in peace and happiness in the new age, the age of Aquarius, and considering this harmonic convergence that's going on, that we understand and respect each other's individual karma situations, even though they may seem a bit strange or unusual for each individual person. But at this point, in case you're wondering whether you do have any of these aspects in your chart, well, the question is, where's your chart at? Today's topic is homosexuality, astrology, and metaphysics, which I think is a vital topic concerning some of the issues facing us today. You know, issues like promiscuity and homosexual promiscuity, which can be a problem when we talk about things like AIDS, because it's hard enough to be gay, number one, but then when you're gay and lonely, or then when you're susceptible to being gay, lonely, and dealing with having a karma with multiple partners, and then risking possibly getting a rare disease or a terminal disease like AIDS, being gay is a very, very heavy karma at this time period in history, for sure, gay men, that is. But no matter what your sexuality is, it is important that you do understand, in my opinion, try to respect and show some compassion for people, in case you know people that are gay, or in case you sense you might have some of this inside of yourself that may be coming out and blossoming. A lot of times, people go back and forth between being a gay person or being a heterosexual person, depending on how their charts are being aspected. Like, my ex-wife got into a gay relationship with another woman after our marriage, and then that woman became heterosexual on her, and they broke up because she fell in love with a man, and she said she didn't want to be a gay woman anymore. And people say, well, Farley, why does this happen? You know, what causes this? Well, it depends on the transits. See, like, natally, in your chart, you may have the chart of a person that would be more comfortable being a homosexual woman, for example, but then you might have some heavy trines to your Mars that could open you up and create some options for men to come into your life under a more pleasant circumstance without as much of a karmic pressure being put on you. And the same thing goes with gay men. Sometimes they'll have an afflicted Venus, right? Maybe Venus in Scorpio with a Pluto opposition and a Mars square in maybe Leo or something. And all of a sudden, they'll get a heavy Pisces or Cancer trine on their Venus, and suddenly relationships with women are better. In fact, they seem to work. In fact, they seem to work better than anything. So that's why you have people sometimes skipping about from being a homosexual to being heterosexual to being back to homosexual and then even bisexual, and then sometimes they can be totally confused. And then a lot of times I'll say, when that karma strikes, it's best not to even play the game. It's almost better to be even asexual instead of creating too much hassle for yourself. Because one thing about love, sex, and relationships, in my opinion, again here, no matter what your sexual gender preferences are, is that really you shouldn't let sex or love or the need for commitment or the need to feel involved or relate to other people get to a point that it should endanger your own personal self-esteem. Because if you get to a point where your sex drive is so high, and whether you're gay or straight, that your sex drive gets you into trouble, where you get obsessed with needing and feeling the need to be involved with other people or be in a commitment, where the pain of making and breaking relationships gets so severe that you just start to hate yourself, and the anxiety levels and the emotional levels are so intense that it prevents you from having any productivity or efficiency in your life, hey, in my opinion, it's time to stop playing the game, no matter who you are, and forget about sex, love, and relationships for a while, and start doing something else in your life. I see that. I think that's a problem. Some people, they're so lonely. And relations, some people might call normal relations, right, with another heterosexual person may not work, so they become homosexual thinking that'll work better, but then things get even more complicated, and the emotional pain involved with being a homosexual is even more severe. And sometimes it's time to say, hey, wait a minute, let's stop. Maybe there's too much emphasis being put on in society for us to be involved in relationships with men or women or whatever sexual gender, whatever promiscuity that we might develop. And sometimes it's more important to just even be celibate and be asexual or not involved in relationships at all to let some of that pain ease and to let you work on your self-esteem. Because in my opinion, whatever the relationship is, whether it's homosexual, bisexual, or heterosexual, if high self-esteem isn't obvious or evident in both partners, then I don't think that relationship can be destined for the high power of love realization that is capable between any two people. So I think high self-esteem and high self-love factors are absolutely critical. In order for you to understand how another person could love you, it is important for you to see how you could love yourself in the same way, in a selfless, non-conceited, non-egocentric fashion, just to love yourself in a way so you could understand how another person could love you. A big problem in relationships is that people are always putting themselves down, especially in front of the other partner. I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm this, and I'm that, and the other person's looking at you, and they love you, and they worship you, or they idolize you, or whatever, and they're sitting there going, how could they possibly think that about themselves? Why am I with them? And then you lose your partner, and you wonder why. It's because you created such a negative monster in front of them, that's why. So that's why it's important for you to have the self-love and the high self-esteem and to think highly of yourself. And that way, when you're in a relationship and someone compliments you for your beauty or your love or your kindness, you can say, yes, thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think the same about you too. And that way the relationship will work that much better. So no matter what your sexual preferences are, no matter what your sexual gender is, in my opinion, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable about it. It's hard enough for people to get along in society to have relationships between sometimes gay people and straight people or bi people and straight people because there's just so much fear and so much homophobia and so much sensitivity and vulnerability around. It's hard for a lot of us to throw that stuff off. Like you can sit in a bus or in a private place and you'll be with a person late at night or whatever in a public place and all of a sudden somebody will come on to you who may be gay and you're not and you'll feel uncomfortable about it. You won't know how to react about it and it might create almost a violence or an aggression or an antagonism not only towards that person but towards all gay people. Reminds me of something that happened to me long ago when I was traveling from St. Louis to Los Angeles in a Greyhound bus and I was confronted by this guy who thought I was cute and it upset me very much. And, of course, he was a very much older man, but still it frightened me. And I thought, must be one thing to be gay, mister, but trying to deal with it is another thing. So that's another problem sometimes that we face with, that some people can be gay or bisexual, and then they can actually interfere or breach the aura of another person without their consent. And this also can create fear and anxiety between people, depending on their sexual preferences. Anyway, this definitely is a very controversial topic in the opinion of Farley Malaris, and once again, I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm just throwing it out as food for thought. But in another way, checking the astrology chart for those certain factors I talked about, like Virgo, Gemini, Aquarius, and Leo rising, sometimes can be factors that can help us understand our sexual preferences and our sexual gender. So thank you for having the patience to allow me to do this topic for you. Let's go to Shane on line two, a Leo. Hi, Shane.
Hello, Farley. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you, I have a question on my career direction. I'm working for a large company that's undergone several buyouts in the last couple of years, and the most current one will be starting, you know, the next takeover will be starting in several months from now. And I'm just really trying to decide if I want to just get out of where I'm at and head another direction, or will the coming takeover, you know, provide me with as good of career goals as what I'm seeking, I guess.
Shane, you're one hardworking Leo guy, I'll tell you. I'd like to have a guy like you work for me. But the problem is that you probably will make more money for other people by working for them. If you can get some confidence behind you, you are shown literally incredible wealth in the coming years. But I would think it would be in your own business enterprises.
That's interesting.
Because you have Venus in Cancer, which is the pure business person. I have that too, Leo. Sun, Venus, and Cancer, Mars in Pisces, which gives you the insight and intuition for future marketing capabilities, and Jupiter in Virgo, which is the workaholic, the 70-hour-a-week man. So, you know, to ask me about another career is almost ludicrous because you need to actually be your own boss, in my opinion.
Okay.
And get yourself charted and find out your rising sign. It'll tell us a heck of a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Let's go to Karen, a Sagittarius, on line three. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you doing, Farley? I really can relate to the program that you had today. It took me a bit off guard. I wasn't expected to hear to hear it.
Why is that?
I relate to it because of a number of relationships I've been involved in. I usually attract a number of gay or bisexual men into my life.
Aha.
It usually leads to romantic relationships. And when you're talking about female soul and a male body, it feels as if most of the time they're my best friends, or they really know women on one level or another, kind of intuitively.
It's because, like, their soul is a woman.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, most of the time they usually were best friend relationships, but, you know, however, sometimes ended up romantically because I somehow have the same sensitivity or...
Can you speak up? I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting over the flu.
Okay.
I feel a bit hoarse.
It really helps, I think, the fact that these bodies are illusions and the fact that we're all one.
Exactly.
You know, the fact that a lot of souls jump sex like that in this dimension, it helps overcome some of the ludicrousness of life on Earth, I think.
It has to.
Yeah.
It has to. What are the reasons?
How'd you find out about the show?
I had some friends that listened to it. And
you know what I just saw on your chart? Just a minute. You have Mars in Virgo conjunct Pluto in Virgo, so if you're not a gay woman, you'd normally be attracted to gay men.
Really?
See, because a woman with Mars in Virgo, what she expects is a real gentleman. And some of our gay men, obviously, with hetero women, are going to be obvious gentlemen because there's not going to be that aggressive sexual attraction right off the bat.
Yeah, I've never gone for the macho man.
Yeah, so that's, see, once again, we validate that. You have a Mars-Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo, so it'd be a lot easier probably for you to get along with a gay guy.
Mars-Uranus and Pluto, I have to get a chart.
Yeah, you should send for your chart.
I have to now. I just wanted a general scan, I guess. I really don't know what else to ask about.
Well, you are showing a big surge in your relationships, by the way. A spiritual individual, or one or more, may come into your life if that already hasn't begun.
I had a really bad one I just broke up with.
Uh-huh. A bad spiritual one?
Well, I don't know. He was an Aries, and he was real egotistical, real headstrong. And
well, let's hope something better's on the way for you. And, you know, you're a very deeply sensitive and vulnerable and compassionate woman. You care about this planet. And I think your major lesson in life is connected with where am I going, what am I doing, and where are a few good friends when I need them.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your help.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Charles on line number 4, Pisces Taurus Rising member. Hi, Guy.
Hi. How you doing, Farley?
Hey, very good.
Got a day off. I thought I'd give you a call.
Do you listen when you work, too?
Well, my wife tapes you every day, and then I listen when I come home.
After dinner or during dinner?
After dinner. I don't want to spoil my dinner.
You mean you don't turn the TV set on, you turn the astrology hour on?
Well, it depends on if I have other things to do. You know, when I come home, I might sit down and do it right away. Or
you mean you might watch Alf out of one eye and listen to the astrology hour?
Yeah, I'm taking notes, you know. Run the tape over the next day and do it again.
Thank you.
So I've been doing this for a while. Something's been bothering me for a few years. I'm just starting to realize I've been having a lot of problems, not a lot, but problems with theft and vandalism and things just disappearing. I was just wondering if there's something in my chart that would show this. This is not only at home, but I find this happening at school where I work.
Well, have you ever done any cheating in your life, Charles? Even like little white lies or white little things where you didn't give somebody their change back when you knew they gave you too much? Or
well, not that type, but when I play golf, I sometimes make mistakes in addition.
You know what? You might laugh at this, Charles. But that's exactly the type of karma that will create vandalism in your life. Because, see, what you're doing is you're stealing from other players. See, what you're doing is you're making yourself look better, so it's like stealing pride.
Yeah.
And the payback, you know, every time you cheat in golf, the payback will be losing things here and there. See, like, your karma might not be the karma of someone that would bend the truth or someone that would steal or cheat, which means if you did a little bit of it, then it would come back to you compounded as a karmic lesson to show you that you don't have this karma, so you should stop.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And also, you know, then again, you may have been a major thief, like a pickpocket in Baghdad or something, and this is just God's way of saying, okay, Charles, we're trying to show you this is not the type of stuff to do, you know. But usually if there is that little vandalism karma, then it many times means you should be that much more cautious of your possessions. You went through a bastard of a transit here. All this year, I'll tell you, you might have really lost a whole bunch of stuff. I'll tell you, over the summer and beyond. What'd they take?
Well, see, now, a couple of years ago, they broke into my garage. They've come into the house and stole money and things. And one of the little things I lay down, they just disappear in my own home, like my glasses or something. You know, we hunt all over. We can't find these things. And not only that, but when I'm on, like I said, at school during Christmas vacation, they broke in. One person broke in. Now, they go in. They always break into the other classroom because it's easier, and then they come. But they can go through the other room, see?
Okay.
And, there goes my room, vandalism, writing on the walls. You know, and this happens like every weekend.
Okay, I did notice something in your natal. You have Jupiter retrograde in Virgo oppose your Venus in Pisces. Oh. And that would be the thief karma, which means you probably were a thief in a past life.
Oh, boy.
And this time, little things like cheating on the golf score would be just a tidbit, a leftover vibe from that life. But every time it happens, just bless the person because they're going to have to go through it next.
Next time I fill up my cup of coffee in the cafeteria, I better pay for that second cup.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of little things, now that you mention it. You know, maybe a pencil here or thing that...
See, I feel lucky because the only time I ever had anything happen that was real bad was somebody stole my car at gunpoint.
Oh.
And I just did a major lie to my father the night before where some money was involved. Since then, I have been honest as the day is long, I'll tell you. It scares me. Thanks, Charles.
Hey, thanks a lot, Farley.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dad, are you listening? Anyway, let's go to line number 6. And Diane is born November 21st, 1945. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I just want to general what's going on.
How'd you find out about the show?
I stumbled across it looking through radio stations, and I've been fascinated ever since.
Oh, how long have you been listening?
About 2 weeks.
Oh, really? So you might be ready to get your chart pretty soon.
Yeah.
Are you a dominant woman?
Yes.
Do you like to control your men?
Not really, no.
But sometimes it comes out, though.
Yes.
Do you have fights with them?
I try to avoid them.
You don't have a temper, do you?
Very much so.
I know, boy. It's like an explosive rage inside of you. You have a Leo-Scorpio aspect like I have. I got into metaphysics to control my rage temper, and it works. Venus in Scorpio and Mars in Leo, you can get ticked off about things, and then they'll build up if people push you, and you explode. As you know, that explosion has a direct effect on your relationships.
Yes.
So getting into astrology and metaphysics will help curtail that. You're also a perfectionist. You like balance, and you like things to be together. And even though you might get upset, you don't like that part about yourself. And maybe afterwards you might feel kind of bad about it or try to apologize.
That's correct.
And this is a heavy part in your life. You've gone through major metamorphosis the last couple of years. Changes in goals and friends and analysis of your ego and some shattered dreams. And you're on a major rebirth path right now. And all kinds of new beginnings are starting for you. It's like being reborn.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Debbie, who is a Virgo Gemini rising. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Excellent. What can we do for you?
Oh, I was just, first of all, I'm a Virgo, and I got Gemini rising and a lot of Virgo scattered throughout my chart, which I don't have at hand, but I'm just remembering from looking at it. Anyway, I was calling about...
Do you get confused in relationships?
Yeah.
You're always trying to figure them out then?
Basically, yes.
Now, you have Mars in Virgo, but you're probably married though, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very heterosexual.
Yeah, so...
When you said the topic, I was already on hold, and I go, whoa.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, like some of the most heterosexual women I've met do have Mars in Virgo, but it doesn't mean their relationships are easy. You know, because Mars in Virgo sometimes can be too analytical when it comes to relationships. Okay, what can we do for you, hon?
Last time I called, you happened to tell me that my husband and I were due for a lot of problems till after Valentine's Day. And we weren't seeing much of each other because of his work hours. He was coming home from work just as I was going to bed, and we didn't see much of each other. Well, his work changed, and you're right, we fought like cats and dogs. So do you foresee any more harmonious good times going on?
What are you fighting over? What seems to be the major issue here? Money?
Money and lack of it and just...
I think what you need to form, in my opinion, is what's called the Mutual Admiration Society, where instead of giving each other a hard time or searching for faults or problems or what's wrong with the marriage or the household, what you need to do is start discovering more truth and more love and more light and what's good about each other in the marriage, and that'll help. Because usually, with the type of transit you've been through, you're both probably wounded and scarred. And when you see each other now, it could be like, oh my God, it's like, give me a break, you know? So, you know what I mean by this Mutual Admiration Society? You should try to develop something like that.
Yeah, focusing on the positive rather than the negative.
Yeah, the marriage appears for you to get better, at least in the coming years, or you would end up with another husband. Your marital life, your social life is stable. It should be with him as long as you guys can get back on the proper track again. And if you feel this anxiety and anger coming up too much, you might need to get some therapy.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Let's go to another caller now. Edward is actually a Taurus Gemini rising. Yo, Ed.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
Hey, guy.
I wanted to make a quick comment before I ask you a question. I spoke to you, October 12th, I spoke with you last, and you predicted I would be heading for a real storm financially or career-wise. And your prediction came true, just like with these earthquakes. I had a second job as a property manager. I lost that job. Was fired from that job, and I got hit with the IRS for a $1,500 bill, so it did come true.
Sorry about that, guy. I like to warn people sometimes.
It really, it was quite helpful because it kind of helped me prepare, kind of make the right decisions at the time.
Well, you're headed for a lot of money coming up. You're going to be in the bucks coming up here, guy.
I'm hearing, I'm 27 years old. Is this when I hit my Saturn return?
Yeah. Part of your Saturn return's responsibility, actually, believe it or not, is to make sure that all your legal commitments, insurance, and taxes are met.
Okay.
Because you may be in a tax bracket where you could go expand so far so fast that if you don't cover yourself in the income tax end, you might be hit with yet another bill.
Yeah, that's been happening.
Yeah, see, because Venus in Taurus, for you a Taurus, already a money-oriented type guy, and then all these Capricorn transits are hitting and Taurus transits in May, and we're going to see in the next few years you could create quite an empire here.
My question for today is, I wanted to know what is my life karma, and it's like a two-part question. How can I prepare for my next life?
Okay, what house is your Saturn in?
Oh, Saturn, I believe it's in the
eighth?
Aquarius. Eighth, yes.
In Capricorn in the eighth.
Oh, Capricorn's eighth house, okay.
Okay. I think a major part of your karma has to do with dominance and manipulation and control of other people even without knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And also compassion, drawing the line between using people and manipulating them or really caring for them and helping them. And the best way you can prepare for your next lifetime is, of course, to try to evolve above it and beyond it by doing so much good for other people and so many dharmic deeds for the planet that you don't really feel like there's a need for you to be pulled back to this dimension. The only reason why we come back to this dimension is because there's so much left undone. If you leave a lifetime and your higher mind says, wow, you've done so much, it's time for you to graduate and go to another level. We need you up here, guy. You're a teacher, you know.
What kind of past life karma would have caused this dominance, compassion karma in this lifetime?
Well, you might have been an emperor or somebody that had tremendous power, and you might have abused that in a past life. Usually, Saturn in Capricorn is the sign of a person who was extremely successful and sometimes didn't know how to handle it. And sometimes, on their road to success, left a wake of people that were wounded.
Boy. So okay. Your topic today, it says, like, with the bisexuality, the heterosexuality. I've always been attracted to Libra and Pisces women all my life. My sister and my mother who raised me were Libra Pisces. I work in my office. The secretary there is Pisces. I get along with her well. And my girlfriend is a Libra. All my life I've seemed to be around. And I have been, by last two relationships, I've been with bisexual women.
Yeah, I have that weakness too. I got to go, Eddie.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. I'm pretty much running out of time. Too bad we couldn't bring you the Astrology Hour all day long, folks, but we only have an hour a day and 2 hours on Tuesday. And that was our show today, Homosexuality, Astrology, and Metaphysics. And I am sure we're going to get some interesting calls tomorrow, continuing today's topic. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you real soon. Weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, at 12 noon. Have a great day and a wonderful life. Bye-bye.